The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
87 countries, 3,500 speeches, 500,000 hugs. My arms fell off. But it was definitely when COVID came and we went to a very large church and they trusted us to have a confidential meeting with 60 young people. And I said, what do you wish that your church would do for you? And someone
said, Voyages challenges believers to be champions for the brokenhearted. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Belinda Lane is with me again. How are you doing, Belinda?
I'm great. Happy to be here. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
It's a great place to be. We're glad you're here, by the way. You met our guest.
I did. And he's had me laughing since the moment that I met him.
Well, I want you to meet him. Many of you know him. He's been on Life Today before. Nick Vujicic is with us. Nick, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Randy. Hi, Belinda.
Hi.
So good to have you. I want to tell people real quickly about your new book, Champions for the Brokenhearted. And I love this. And you know, that's our heart here, to champion people who have been through so many things. But I want to hear from you kind of what does this mean to you?
Look, it's been 10 years since I've actually written a book. And I really feel even that last book was, what's a topic that we all need to do as a church? And that was about evangelism. This is the next thing that I really feel burdened for like never before. As I go and preach the gospel, what happens to them after? What about their discipleship? And really their heart. Because we can go to church every week and feel like, okay, I've got my, you know, weekly church out of the way. We're busy, we're going, and we feel good, and then we're gonna go through the week. We go to church thinking that the brokenhearted are just out there somewhere in the world, but the brokenhearted are within the church walls too. And I feel like a lot of us are not really understanding how many of us, even Christians who go to church on a weekly basis, are going through their life with Jesus, but still with a broken heart, because no one really stopped and said, hey, tell me your story. What has happened with you? And so you can have your soul saved, you can have your mind renewed, but you also need your heart healed. And that's part of the Great Commission as far as we're concerned.
It's interesting because I love in the book you say brokenness is the common denominator for humanity. So it's not outside the church walls, it's inside and outside. But you also say in your book that it takes your eyes being open to see the brokenhearted. So what was it for you that made you really start seeing the brokenhearted and wanting to write about that?
Look, it's been an incredible ride. Nick V Ministries, 87 countries, 3,500 speeches, 500,000 hugs. My arms fell off. But it was definitely when COVID came and we went to a very large church and they trusted us to have a confidential meeting with 60 young people. And I said, what do you wish that your church would do for you? And someone said, I wish someone helped me to reach out to my friends at school who are cutting themselves. And another one said, I'm being sexually abused right now, but no one's ever asked me, how am I really doing? And so one in three girls, we're hearing stats. And so that interaction, and then the statistics that are coming out in America, one in three girls have already been raped by age 17, one in five boys by age 17. One in five men who go to church weekly are addicted to porn. And so if we can talk about human trafficking, which is one of the topics that we've chosen, the way that we've chosen this, it's understanding the topics as well, where you don't just want to talk about human trafficking, you want to now go back to the root of where does this come from? Well, if we start with the believers for the demand for pornography and such, that's where we are at. And so years ago, I sat down on a plane and I said, God, tell me all the ways that a human can suffer. And I didn't stop writing till 103. A year later is when I met June Hunt, who also had 103 different ways in how the human being can suffer, and wrote 103 devotionals on each of those topics. And so how do we then help and be the hands and feet? We had to choose not 103, which, you know, we have 12. Mm-hmm. And so we feel that the way that the world is going and the church health right now, these are the vulnerable, the marginalized, the wounded mind, and the silent suffering. And these were the four categories of the 12 topics where we're like, not many people are talking about this from the pulpit. And we feel like this is the heart of God to reach the lost, yes, but to also heal the brokenhearted.
Yeah. It's interesting because we do go to church and we kind of feel like this is, you know, where those of us who are a long time, I will say, we've all kind of got it. We're all Christians. We're on the same team. You know, we're here to encourage each other. But you're right. Once you start digging down, you find out that a lot of people are coming to the church because they are wounded. They are hurting. They have the broken heart. And when you see this, you know, you've preached to so many people. Where do you even begin? Because I think for the average person who's like looking around them at church, they're going, I don't even know how to approach this mm-hmm. with someone. How do you open that dialogue that can lead potentially to some healing?
Look, the it's so good. We talk about each of these things. We talk about addictions. We talk about abuse and bullying, the suicidal, the disabled. We go through so many different topics there, and even sharing with experts the telltelling signs of sometimes being like, let's say if you're looking at a teenager, this is how you begin a conversation with them. They're starting to withdraw. They're isolating themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you pick up on these things and kind of ways that if you're talking to a teenager, to talk about the topic from not a microscope on them point of view, but to share about it. Like trigger words like hazing, you know, do you know what hazing is? Do your parents know what hazing is? And understand like this happens and what does that look like? And just bullying where patterns of even suicidal thoughts before they're going to tell you, they're not going to come up to you and say, hey, I've thought about giving up.
Right.
But you need to have that friendship. And so we look at it from a peer to peer or church member to church member. Mm-hmm. And really it's people your age who are looking out. And so we actually believe that this book is going to go on fire for young people who know that their friends are suffering, who know that there are people out there and helping people like be the light of Jesus Christ and not feel intimidated by some of these topics and how to actually have a friendship where you get people talking by sharing sometimes as well your story.
Right.
And if it's not your story, it's from the mission point for your school. Let's talk about bullying as far as a mission, shining the light of Jesus at your school. And then it turns out, oh yeah, I am being picked on. Yeah. I am thinking of giving up because of that. Yeah.
It makes sense that you would have a heart for that, particularly for those watching that may not know your full story. you speak about having suicidal thoughts and being bullied and being born with a disability started your life really kind of on a different, rockier road than most.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about that.
And so that's where the beginnings of how do you sincerely have the compassion for the lost and the brokenhearted. It was not only just thinking of committing suicide, but attempting to drown myself at age 10 and believing I had no hope and God wasn't there for me. I prayed for arms and legs. He didn't give me a miracle. Had no idea that when you don't get a miracle, you can still be a miracle. For him, but knowing that his grace is sufficient, that he can use your broken pieces if you give your broken pieces a chance in his hands, that was when I was healed, redeemed. God, help me just to reach out and heal one more person's heart in knowing they're beautiful just the way that they are. And so that's where it began. That's where my whole evangelical ministry began at age 19 years old. And you know, just realizing that every single person that you walk by, we all hide our pain really well. Mm-hmm. I knew how well I held my pain back from my parents, from everyone. And so you never know the person who's at the grocery store or walking by you, walking their dog. I actually was walking my dog as a teenager and refusing to go home until I actually looked at someone in the eye and said, hey, I love you. Jesus loves you. And that was because I asked God, God, give me your eyes to see them the way you see them. And so you just don't know what seeds of love, hope, or an engagement about just, hey, how can I pray for you? Well, I'm going to pray for you anyway, so you might as well tell me. So there's ways around that. So that began because of that life journey.
So, you brought up something that I want to address because, you know, when people hurt us or life circumstances hurt us, we lose a loved one, you face a divorce, or a child, you know, has an addiction, those will all break your heart, right? These are all traumatic situations where we need to deal with it. But even deeper, and this is what you touched on, is when you feel like, and this is the wrong way to put it, so take it, I hope you'll hear me. You feel like God's broken your heart.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you have an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And God doesn't.
So well said.
Right? You know what I mean.
Right.
I don't know that you can get over any of the life circumstance, broken heart situations if you've got that there.
100%.
So what do you say to those who are like, you know what, I have this disappointment? There was a show, I did a program a while back where we talked about asking God for forgiveness. And people corrected me, you don't ask God for forgiveness because he's perfect. But the point was that we have disappointments, we have expectations, we have unfulfilled prayers. And that creates something where it's up to us to change, right? I get that. Where do you start?
We start at the truth, and the truth is that God never inflicts the pain in New Testament, in understanding after Jesus Christ, and the grace and the mercy that we have is as we hunger and thirst for God, his grace is sufficient and covers us. We know he won't give us always what we want, but he'll always give us what we need. Mm-hmm. He never promises a smooth life. The infliction is from the curse of sin, and pain and suffering, disabilities, and death itself was the curse of sin, which Jesus broke. If Jesus lives in me, he breaks the sin in my life, that cycle, and condemnation in hell. And also he resurrected. And so I have the Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me. I'm a new creation. But then it also says I'm under construction. It also says that all things come together for the good for those who love him. And in that construction and how God uses your broken pieces, he will complete the work that he started in you.
So good.
And so I'm a work in progress. Nick still goes through depression. Nick still goes through anxiety. There are still times where I am angry at God. Like, how could you let this happen? Why is this stuck? It's been 7 months. I don't understand. Sometimes you pray. Sometimes you fast. Sometimes you get counseling. Sometimes you get prayer warriors to pray for you. And nothing changes. And you're like, God, where are you? And I want you to know that he is not disappointed in how you feel. Mm. And how you feel, you bring it to God and you realize, okay, I am going to get through this. Philippians 4:13, I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me. And understanding this is the beautiful thing. So it's not just to reach out, it's understanding that we all can help people, but also engage in ministry. Mm-hmm. If you've been raped, I don't know what that is, and I'm sorry for that. But if you find God, and you find redemption and healing, you can actually be used more powerfully than anyone who doesn't know what that feels like. Mm-hmm. Because your story, your history is his story. And so this is a commissioning to remember that this is how God can use your pain to reach out to someone else. And maybe it's not tomorrow, maybe it's not a year, maybe it's 10 years from now. But if you were used by the Lord Jesus Christ to actually help bring the knowledge and understanding of his love to one person who then goes to eternity, then all our pain is worthwhile. And I just want to challenge the church, if God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, then God can use any willing heart.
That's so good.
I absolutely love that. And I do think that you talk a lot about the role of the church. And you say revivals aren't going to happen in stadiums. They're going to happen in the one-on-ones, and they're going to happen in the churches. What can the church do more than it's doing?
I believe so. In fact, in 2026, we really believe that the grace of the window of asking for forgiveness as a country and to repent is closing. Mm. I really believe it's closing quick. And I think we know too much, where if we were really the church, we're in Dallas, 32,000 homeless veterans. We talk about veterans. We have 500,000 churches more than capable to pick up the foster kids and kids waiting for an adoption. Mm. There's 500,000 kids waiting, 500,000 churches. Where are we? There's many still in poverty. And instead of pointing the finger at the inner city community who just got raped and now gets pregnant, and we just say, keep the baby, why can't we come in and try help the poor and those people to get financial literacy and opportunities as well, to actually be the church and get counseling? I feel like the counseling, the help, there is much that I think the church does need to do. And it's just a calling of a trumpet blowing from the wall. And this is actually where the book came from.
I think one of the misconceptions we have in Scripture is, you know, from the Old Testament, following the law, that you know, salvation somehow comes out of that. Obviously, Paul unwinds all that, and he puts the works after the faith. You know, you're born again. It's a gift of God. You don't earn it. But then says you were created for good works. And then James puts it very bluntly, I mean, kind of rudely. Faith without works is dead. If you're not doing the thing, your faith doesn't mean anything. And I think that's what I hear you saying, yeah, and really, yeah, calling the church out to do.
And generally, I'm not saying that every church is bad.
Right.
I'm
right.
going to call it 95% of the church ain't really doing what they're doing. Truly, with discipleship, with accountability, with so many things. And there are so many still reiterations of, and that fruit shall be, go be with the widow, which is another one. Widow, widower, that's a topic that, you know, mm-hmm. go visit the poor, go visit the prisoner. That's another group that, of people that, you know, and talking about just mission field, we're thinking it's over there, you know, it's yeah. here right now. Mm-hmm. And also the Native American sovereign nations, there's yeah. 340 mm-hmm. of them. I've been to a couple of them, and it's right there, and we're like, yeah, God, we gathered, we worshiped, we did our thing. And it's like, I think this is the common denominator of the calling of the unification of the church. Together, mm. we really could move the needle to be the world changers that we believe God's called us to be, one soul at a time.
Yeah, I'd like to talk more about that. So we'd love to have you back for another program.
That'd be awesome.
After this one.
Thank you.
But right now, actually, we have a great opportunity to do the thing, to put our faith into action. And, you know, Nick's been around the world. Those of us at Life Outreach International, we've been around the world. And wherever the need is where we're called to step in and be the hands and feet of Jesus. So here's an easy opportunity for you to get started. Many of you have supported this Water for Life outreach. Thank you. In 2026, we have a wonderful goal, but we can't do it without you. So watch this and see how you can put your faith into action and bring life to others.
Why would anybody drink this? This water is so polluted by animals and people and runoff and environment. I don't even want to touch it, much less drink it. I certainly wouldn't give it to my children. But you know, for many people, they don't have a choice. A water source like this is the only water they can find, and it's deadly.
You know, if you were thirsty in Africa or in many of the remote parts of the world, you'd walk up to a stream like this and say, oh, I've got great water. But what you don't realize is in this area alone, thousands of people got cholera, serious severe diarrhea, many people that cost them their children.
It's and they can't do anything about it because it's all the water that they have. I just can't even imagine. This little baby is so precious, so beautiful. Her mother loves her so much, and I want to see this little baby live healthy because we've given some fresh water to them.
As we give water for life, we give life to so many people. They are asking us, they are begging us, if you could just give us fresh, clean water, we wouldn't be so sick. We could work to grow our crops. We could take care of our families. And it starts with you. Let's give water for life so people can live.
You are the answer to the problem. We can give them clean water. We are prepared in over 20 nations to drill 350 wells or more, I hope, this year. But we're relying on viewers just like yourself. And you need to know that there is nothing too small. Saving one life, two lives is huge. Let me give you the breakdown real quick so you understand. The average well for us costs $4,800. There are some places that are very difficult to reach. There are some places where to get to actual clean water, you have to drill quite deep. But we go in and we make it a well that will last for an average of 70 years. It's totally enclosed. This is truly water for life because it is clean drinking water. It changes a village. It changes a region. We believe we have impacted nations through this. But again, it's all because of you. Some of you can drill an entire well, and I would encourage you, if you can do that, please do that. You'll bless so many people. Some of you can join with others. $48 will help provide clean drinking water for a lifetime for an average of 10 people. A gift of $144 would do the same for 30 people. But here's the important thing, and Belinda, I know you know this. I know you believe this. When we go in and we give someone clean drinking water, it's a good work. But when we go in and we give clean drinking water and we preach salvation in the name of Jesus Christ, it's a God work.
It's a God work. And it makes me think, you said something a minute ago about even if it was just one person, you know, not one person can't do everything, but every person can do something. And that something that you sow into this ministry will change someone's life. It will save someone's life.
It is. And I've seen this. I've been blessed to go to a lot of places where we have drilled a water well because of viewers just like you. And I've seen the difference it makes. It changes the health of a village. It changes the temperature, the spirit, I would say, of a village. Because those who are so brokenhearted because they've lost children in the past, they know that death has been pushed away. And we tell them everywhere we go, we tell them we are here because of God's love for you, that God has put a love in our hearts that we want to express to you through this simple act. So again, I would invite you to join us to share God's love in word and deed through Mission Water for Life. Go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, fresh drinking water, free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Discovering the Joy of Reading God's Word. Whether you've read the Bible for years or are just beginning, this book invites you to experience Scripture in a fresh, more intimate way. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request a Life of Compassion coffee table book, capturing Life Outreach's heart for the world. Each page pairs timeless Bible verses with vivid mission field photography, making God's Word visible in action. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And request Life's beautiful 2026 bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
We've just watched mothers coming down from this village to the water source here, and mothers in this area, very mothers like these, have been explaining to us how this is their only water source. This is where they wash, as they're doing now, wash their dishes. Just over here, they try and collect water where they can keep it a little bit cleaner. But they've explained to us how this water is actually contaminated. The children get sick, they get sick, they get diarrhea. And they've even explained to us how children have died here because of that sickness. We know what that is. That's waterborne diseases that are in this water. This is unclean water, but it's the only water that they have. One mother said to us, so don't resist. You don't drink any. There's nothing keeping. Can you imagine having to take contaminated water back to your children, knowing that it will make them sick and that it possibly will cost them their lives? That's why we have to keep Mission Water for Life going. We have to keep drilling wells. We have to keep putting the pumps on those. We have to keep bringing fresh, clean water. And so what we need you to do is we need you to open your hearts and to respond and to give the best gift that you can give, because that gift today is a gift of water. It's a gift of life.
I really do hope you make the best gift you can. You can be that champion for some brokenhearted people. Nick's been such a blessing, Belinda.
Such
it's just
a blessing.
Great to have him here.
Yes, thank you. Where can people find you if they want to explore more about what you're doing?
Thanks for having me. NickVMinistries.org/book is where you can check out, where you can get a copy, maybe get a couple for some friends, family, Bible studies at church. We want everyone to be engaged, to be champions for the brokenhearted.
We appreciate you guys being with us. Join us for another program with Nick. And by the way, you can catch all our programs at lifetoday.org. We'll see you again next time.
Nick Vujicic knows firsthand the difficulties life can hold, but Jesus met him and his pain. Now he encourages other brokenhearted people.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.